Hey, it's Chaz and AJ in the morning.
Hey, what's going on?
Thanks for listening to the podcast. Here are some of the best parts from today's show.
Listen to it, please. Thank you.
And please subscribe, share, like, comment, all that stuff.
All of it, please.
Thank you. 68 confirmed cases of the coronavirus in Connecticut. Now, we'll get to the federal government and the financial aid packages they're working on for those of us who are taking this very hard financially.
Right.
First, let's talk to Dr. Ron Clark, Associate Chief of Emergency Medicine, the Hospital of Central Connecticut, New Britain General Campus, author of Surviving the Emergency Room, available at Amazon. Let's first go through the basics that we already know, and then we'll talk about the new stuff. Good morning, Doc.
Good morning, guys. How are we doing?
Hey, what's up, Doc?
Thanks.
So that wave of patients is getting bigger in Connecticut. People that have the coronavirus. The number right now is 68, Chaz, like you said. Interestingly, the state epidemiologist said that that number is probably a factor of 10 of that, which means we have at least 6,000 cases probably in Connecticut right now, just because the amount of testing is just ramping up now. Because there was a lack of testing before, we're just identifying, and again, we want to isolate the patients once they're identified.
Do you guys have enough test kits now?
We're getting them, yes, and then they're ramping up the production because those test kits are now still done at the state lab, but they're also done by private labs as well, and that process is being automated so that they can vastly expand the testing that's done. But as we test more patients, we're going to find more patients, but the whole point is to identify patients who have coronavirus and isolate them from everybody else to decrease the spread of the disease.
Where are we isolating them now?
So it depends. People can be tested positive and isolate and quarantine at home away from others. Or if they're sick and they need to come to the emergency department and be admitted in the hospital, then they're isolated in the hospital. But again, like I talked about last time, the whole point is to have the worried well, the people who are not sick, not come to the hospital and not expose other people. And that's why there's the drive-through testing in Connecticut, which is ramping up at a lot of hospitals in Connecticut, including the Hartford Healthcare System.
Okay. I'm hearing new stuff now. One is that the WHO said there could be an airborne issue, that the virus is living in the air longer than they thought.
Yeah, I mean, things are expanding and changing on a daily basis. Again, they still think that it's droplet. And again, some people are going to have an increase of airborne if they're in the hospital as well for other reasons, like if they're getting breathing treatments or other things that on a nebulizer that's going to make it airborne as well. So there's that increased precaution that needs to be taken at the hospital as well. But again, things are changing on a daily basis, and we're still trying to get a handle of exactly, you know, how it's spread. Right now, it's still droplet, just like other viral illnesses. And again, just take things a day at a time.
That's going to be another curveball. If they're finding that this thing lives in the air longer than we thought now, you really can't. Gloves won't help.
No.
Sanitizing your hands won't help because
right.
You're going to just walk through it.
Exactly.
Right?
The clouds.
So now breathing apparatus will become high in demand, and it'll take the supplies away from people who should really have it. And those are the frontline people, first responders.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Also yesterday, a Belgian doctor said that they've been scanning young patients' lungs and finding that this thing is doing just horrible damage to them.
Yes. And that's an interesting point. I had a radiologist at my hospital show me a study that basically shows that in the 80% of patients have what we call ground glass opacities in their lungs that are detected on CT scanning. So if you actually, and again, we don't CT scan everyone, you know, most people come into the emergency department, will get a chest x-ray if they're short of breath. Some do get a CT scan. It is much more radiation and much more expensive. But a very high percentage of the patients that are COVID positive patients have what we call ground glass opacities. They make sort of marks in the lungs. And that's one way to detect disease as well.
So young people have been thinking, well, I'm not going to be affected by this. I'm in no danger.
Exactly.
This
and the risk groups.
This changes that, right? I mean, if you're, let's just say 25 and you've been vaping for 10 years, you might have a problem.
you may have a problem because you might have some lung damage already from the vaping, and then absolutely, and then this thing can, you know, go to your lungs and can cause damage to the lungs as well. And absolutely. So, yeah, no, everyone is at risk from any kind of viral illness. And as we talked about before, generally under 10 years old, healthy lungs, no vaping, no pre-existing medical problems are vastly unaffected. But those that are you know, anybody over 10, and particularly those with chronic diseases, are most at risk. And that includes vaping, smokers, people with different kinds of cancer, immunosuppression, peripheral vascular disease. Those kinds of patients are most at risk. But yeah, no, everyone's at risk for the disease. And again, I don't want people to panic when Chaz, me and you are talking about this. But again, I'm a doctor who believes in honesty and being transparent, and I don't want people to panic. I want them to prepare, and I want them, to just take the problem seriously and mitigate their own risk. Everybody's responsible for themselves, which means do the things that are appropriate for yourself to stay safe and keep your family safe. You know, the things like we talked about with the hygiene, washing your hands, don't touch your face, clean surfaces, social distances, stay away from people who are sick. And if you are sick, stay away from other people. Don't put everyone else at risk.
I heard, too, we should all act like we have it.
Exactly.
So if you have it, you kind of stay away from people and you do all the things you just mentioned, right?
Yourself.
Exactly.
And so give me this age thing, right? So we keep talking about the elderly's at risk, but, you know, one person's elderly is another person's excellent person in great condition, right? So let me give you this comparison. 60-year-old runner, 60-year-old smoker.
So 60-year-old smoker is going to be much more at risk because they have likely pre-existing lung disease. And then, again, once the COVID virus gets into their body, it's likely going to cause a more significant clinical effect.
Let's do this. 70-year-old runner, 60-year-old smoker.
Still the 60-year-old smoker because they have pre-existing disease. But, again, everybody is at risk, but the ones with pre-existing conditions and structural damage to their bodies are going to be at most risk.
All right, here's another report I read yesterday. We have Dr. Ron Clark on. He's Associate Chief of Emergency Medicine at the Hospital Central Connecticut. 86% of people with coronavirus are undetected.
That's probably true. And then again, the state epidemiologist yesterday said for one test that's positive in the state, expect that there's 100 that are actually positive. So he's timesing it. That's just, those are his words that, you know, his name's Matthew Carter, and he basically says, for everyone that's positive, I'm expecting 100. So it's 68, so now, Chaz, you're at, you know, 6,800 right now. Because, again, not everyone's going to get tested. The other interesting thing with the private laboratory testing only right now is mandated to report the positive tests. They don't report the total number of tests. And there are some people who are going to be sick who aren't going to get tested. You know, we have the coronavirus hotline that we can call at Hartford Healthcare to make an appointment, and other hospital systems have the same different hotlines that can be called to make an appointment, and you get your drive-through testing. But not everybody's going to want testing. Not everyone's going to call for testing. There's going to be some people who are asymptomatic. They're going to have the disease as well. It was interesting. I was reading a study out of China that basically said 79% of the spread in China was from patients with little or no symptoms.
Right.
I mean, it's making it very difficult when it's circulating and it's sort of a silent thing in the background of the environment that you're in, and you don't even know if you're, you know, associated with somebody who's sick because they don't really feel it either. But you know, the most important thing is to make sure you're doing the good hand washing and the social distancing so that you don't come in contact with virus. And again, it's going to get worse. And I'm not saying that to scare listeners. I'm saying that for them to prepare and to protect themselves.
Right. And don't panic when you see the numbers go up.
Yeah.
The numbers
panic.
Are going to go up because the testing's going up.
Yeah.
So don't think it's getting worse. Just know that we're finding out who's sick.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
And,
right.
And the good thing is when we test these people and identify the ones that are COVID positive, that we're isolating them from the community and from other people. And again, that's the best way. If we can isolate everybody who has it and have everybody practice the good hand hygiene and you know, not touching their face and the social distancing, hopefully we can spread out enough where the virus just dies off.
Children's still okay?
children are still okay. Yeah, under 10 still seem to not be very affected by the disease like other people are.
So it kind of goes up on a scale. Like if you look at someone under 10, zero, and then as you get to be older, at the higher, right? So like over 80, you're 15% fatality rate.
Exactly. So as you age, you're going to have a higher fatality rate. Again, you have likely more medical problems, more medications that you're on, and more issues to deal with in that sense. And again, you know, eventually this virus will blow through, but I don't know if that's going to be in a couple weeks or if that's going to be in a couple months or longer. I mean, we have to take things a day at a time. And again, just do the things to protect everyone.
And then before I let you go, unexpected issues that have come up through this. And I'll give you an example. I'm using a lot of hand sanitizer. My hands are so dry, my skin's cracking.
Yeah.
Yeah. Are you running into stuff like that?
We are running stuff like that. Yeah. I use a lot of hand sanitizer every day, even before this whole COVID problem happened.
Right.
And again, it makes your skin dry. It makes it a little irritated. And stuff as well. So I have some hand moisturizer when I get home from work.
I was using some hand sanitizer in the studio yesterday a lot.
Right.
And there was one point where I thought, am I starting to get a sore throat? Like I feel some tingling in my nose and my throat. And I thought, I might be getting sick. And I realized it's the hand sanitizer.
Yes. Yeah, it's just bothering you.
And those Clorox wipes do it also.
All right.
Yeah, all those things. We have to do all the things to keep everybody safe. Absolutely.
All right, Doc, thanks for coming on. Appreciate it. Thanks for what you're doing. And everyone who's in the healthcare profession now, we thank them.
Yes, stay well.
You're welcome. I hope you guys have a great day.
All right, you too. Dr. Ron Clark, Associate Chief of Medicine, the Hospital of Central Connecticut, author of Surviving the Emergency Room. Let's talk to Russell Hackman, President of Hackman Wealth Partners. What's the deal? How are the markets?
Well, guys, the market's up. Yesterday, I'm sure you've been following it. It's up, down, up, down. We had one of our biggest down days, down 3,000 points on Monday, up about 1,000 yesterday. And looking down again today, almost, possible to make sense of it all.
This was all just panic selling, right?
Well, I think there's... you certainly have, that element of just swinging between greed and fear, as they say on Wall Street. And, people fearful of losing money. People made a lot of money the last several years. We've certainly been preaching that the market runs in cycles every 7 to 10 years. And it's always something out of left field that causes the next downturn. And, that's what we're looking at now.
What does it take for people to start getting back in? It looks like a little of that happened yesterday.
A little bit, but we've had, days like that last week where, and it's more just kind of big up, big down. Some of what the government, some of what folks are looking for is, the increasing seriousness that the government is taking all of this. People really getting on top of the social isolation. Really, the market's looking for, when are the peak cases going to occur and some evidence of that in the next, couple weeks. And I think that may form a foundation. Now, the real, one of the reasons we get such volatility is the market's also wondering, is there a sort of, really bad downside here in the sense that this takes 6 to 9 months to get through and really causes some very significant economic damage.
So the challenge now is there's no end in sight, and somebody comes out and says, we have a vaccine. We're going to make $10 billion the next week. It's over, right? The market comes back.
Well, I think they're saying realistically that's at least a year out. So again, I think they're looking more for, can the U.S. go in the direction of a China, Taiwan, Singapore, some of these countries that really did a good job of kind of hitting a peak and they're really returning to normalcy. Are we going the route of Italy where things are pretty out of control? And right now we don't know. I think that ought to become clear in the next couple of months. I'm frankly kind of hopeful that, we're going to do, we'll be towards the better end of the spectrum for a variety of reasons and we'll start to get some stabilization. Now, you know, people got to remember we were kind of overdue for a downturn and a recession anyway. So you got to factor that in.
So Russell Hackman, President Hackman Wealth Partners, on the show. If you have a 401k, leave it. This would be the worst time to sell, right? Because you're selling low.
Absolutely. I mean, if you're, especially if you're on the younger side, you know, 50, 55, younger, you definitely shouldn't worry about this in the sense of staring at it every day. And the irony, in fact, is, you know, your paycheck that buys into the market this month or next month is getting in at a better price. So ultimately, when you do retire, you're actually, you know, you actually benefit from having downturns like this. On the other hand, while we're counseling people who are 50, 55 plus and getting closer to retirement is, you know, it's not necessarily, hey, panic sell. But, you know, we preach that, you know, you can't, given that these cycles happen every 10 years or so, you really can't have your retirement income bounce all over the place because you know this is going to happen 3-4 times during your retirement. You guys see what I mean?
Right.
Yeah.
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 But if you were going to get in the market, now would be good? Or do you think it's going to get lower?
I think it is a reasonable chance that things are going to go down lower and that you're going to get a better price. I think we're, you know, we may get a spout of bad news where there's a bunch of cases. We're down really only, you know, call it 20% front on the market this year. You know, the worst market downturns are down 40, 50%. You know, I think if things do go down another 15, 20%, that's where you're really looking to say, hey, you know, things are getting to be a steal, but I'm not sure we're there yet.
Yeah, so this is my guess, and I know nothing. Everyone has a guess.
I know less.
I think more numbers, because they're testing more, we're going to get a lot more cases. That's going to freak people out.
Right.
The market goes down, and then that would probably be the time to get in.
I think it,
or
I
buy.
Think it could be.
Yeah.
I think it could be. Again, wait to see those cases peak and try to get a sense of, you know, are we getting on top of this in sort of, let's call it the medium term, or is it going to be a longer term thing where we're going in towards the end of the year? I think that could be a pretty, if we get something that lasts, you know, for whatever reason, you know, most of this year, then the economic damage is going to be very, very serious. And, you know, that would make you think twice about wanting to get in. It's also, frankly, going to unfortunately have people concerned for their jobs. I know there's people, you know, concerned for their jobs already, people living, you know, obviously the hospitality industries, et cetera. So that kind of thing is very concerning, not just for obviously our portfolios, but just, you know, for these people's lives. It really is concerning.
The top story, I think, in Connecticut is we now have 68 confirmed coronavirus cases.
Yes.
And let's go around the room here and talk to some folks that can enlighten us. Themis Claridis is the House Republican leader. What kind of aid is going to be coming from the federal government to Connecticut and to local folks?
Well, we are in the middle of trying to figure out exactly who's going to get what. And once the federal government, with SBA loans, those kind of loans that we've heard about and relief, then we are trying to right now fill in the holes on the state level. You've seen different ideas such as unemployment benefits. Right now, under current law, with unemployment benefits, you have to be currently looking for another job. We have relaxed those requirements, for example, in Connecticut, to try and get people to get benefits quicker and sooner.
Let's just say, you know, let's just say I'm a bartender and now I'm out of work. Can I go and apply for unemployment now?
Well, what we've been telling people is everybody should try to do it. If you were able to get it before, certainly be able to apply for it now. But
gotcha.
What we're doing is, as I said, relaxing a lot of these things because, I mean, when you're a bartender, you rely on tips.
Yeah.
And this is not a salary job, right? And that's what we've been arguing all this time. That's part of the policies we've been pushing forward as to why jobs like that are so important for people who are single parents, who are going through college, that kind of thing. And we want to make sure that we as a state are filling in whatever holes and whatever is within our purview as a state, not the federal government, but we're obviously pushing them.
So is it going to be based on your tax return? In other words, you know, you made, I don't know, let's say 25, 30, right? You file for that. And then when you go to unemployment, it's based on a percentage of that. Is that how it works?
Yes.
Okay.
Right.
So if you took some of those cash tips and just put them over here.
Right. Hopefully you did.
That won't count.
Yeah.
Towards your.
Unfortunately,
that's how
hopefully
before,
you saved
right?
them.
What's that?
I mean, that's how it was before.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I mean, if you made, I don't know, just throw out a number, $20,000 in tips and you, and those were all, you know, in writing, basically. But you really made $40,000 in tips. There's no way to track that down because you're doing whatever you're doing with that cash.
Right,
so
right.
That's not any different than it was before.
It's
hard right now. It's hard for people.
Let me ask you this. If you get coronavirus at work, do you get workman's comp?
You know, Chaz, that's a good question. And this is the kind of thing that's happening every day. We're having calls with the leaders and the governor's office almost every day. And what will happen is you will ask me a question. A constituent will ask me a question. I'll come up with my own question. And we add them to a list.
Right.
And then we work them through the governor's office.
I got you.
Attorney
You're
General's
working them
office.
Through. I feel like that the answer to that question would be, well, if you get the flu at work, you don't get workman's comp. So this is kind
right.
of the same.
That sucks.
I mean, workman's comp
sucks, but that's the reality.
Yeah.
You got injured at work. You didn't get sick at work. Workman's
right.
comp.
So this federal money, how when they come up with this number, whatever it is, how much does Connecticut get? And then how does that get dispersed? Comes into the governor's office, then you guys figure out how it gets divvied up?
Well, from what we're hearing, and we're going now from what we're hearing, right? I mean, oftentimes we'll hear what you hear on TV, and then there's a White House conference call today, which will be thousands of people on it, I'm sure, nationally. We are waiting to hear exactly how that'll be dispersed. That's part of the problem, and I think that's part of the fear of what's going on, not in Connecticut, but in the country, because you're hearing that we're getting money and we're hearing that you will be okay, but we're not seeing it and seeing exactly how it will be dispersed, exactly
right.
how much money it will be, when it will happen. I mean, those are serious questions for people, particularly, you know, 70% of the business, 80% of the business in Connecticut, at least small business under 10 employees, under 5 employees. And these restaurants that are closing, our big fear is that half of them won't open again. I mean,
I heard that number too. It's frightening.
Overturn, yeah.
It is. I mean, if you look at the governor's executive order, it says April 30th. I mean, that's ridiculous. I mean, we're all hoping that it's less than that. But to force all these businesses to close until April 30th.
So you disagree with that?
Tough. Here's my feeling on it. And this has been difficult as leaders. Like, our purview is the state capitol building, the legislative office building, and the old state house. Those are with our decision. We decide when they open and we decide when they close. The governor doesn't have control over that kind of thing, those buildings. And even with those decisions, it was hard for us. We didn't all agree, and we had to come to a consensus.
No, but tell me, answer
the question. My problem is I would rather err on the side of saving people's lives.
Yes, I agree.
I would. But I'm scared about the you know, my neighbor next door or your neighbor down in the corner or the coffee shop with two employees. I'm scared.
Yeah,
because
I agree.
That's their living. That's what drives our economy. But if given a choice of the two, obviously saving lives is our priority here.
Well, the faster it looks like the United States has this under control and the cases start downtrending, the faster the economy will come back. And I think that the governor had a very difficult decision. Lives of the elderly, economic future of the country,
yep.
Or let's just keep this going for a couple more days,
right.
weeks, and see what happens.
Yeah, we.
So,
I mean, these are choices nobody ever wants to have, especially as an elected official. But they're the choices that we've been given. So everybody's afraid. If you're not, people, you know, it's let's all be honest, put it out there. We're afraid, but we're doing the best we can to make sure people are safe. I'm not as concerned about me or you. I'm concerned about my parents.
Yeah.
Right. And our the elderly in our community, because those are the people that are at most risk. And God forbid I ever or we ever bring any of those diseases into our homes and into people we know.
Well, you're a public person, so you're staying away from your parents now, right?
Yes, I am. I am, and it's very difficult for me. My mother doesn't understand why. I had explained that to her. So we would decide we'd go up to the front door and stand outside and talk to her through the window.
There you go, see?
You know, there's always a solution to it. But I would just say to people, this is scary. This state is, we're doing everything we can, and we are, as I said, the leaders are sitting down every day. We went through an entire list for hours yesterday and trying to figure out the answers to as many of these questions. But to your point, they pop up every 5 minutes.
Yeah, the main thing is getting the money to the people as fast as possible.
Right, we need it.
And not letting the money go into Hartford and then into special projects or pet projects.
No diverting.
Right, right to the people who need it, right?
Okay, right?
So, all right, Themis, thanks for coming on. I appreciate it. Keep us posted.
Thank you, Will.
All right. Themis Claridis, House Republican leader. Let's go to Brian Foley. He's the Department of Emergency Services and Public Protection assistant something or another.
It's a long title. He's a good guy, though.
It's a long title,
really,
Brian.
But we like him.
It's a lot. I had no involvement in deciding what it was. That's the government for you.
Yeah, we need to trim it down.
Make
a little
an acronym.
Bit. Yeah.
Okay. I'm sure you can come up with something.
Part of the reason why people panic in these situations is... will there be police protection when the police start getting sick?
And that's the question a lot of the police chiefs, our bosses, and everyone around the state that's about law enforcement. They want to assure everyone there will be. And at the same time, we're preparing to make sure they're prepared. And that's, you know, coveralls, respirators, masks for all our police officers around the state. We're working with the Department of Public Health to make sure first responders, police officers, fire personnel, EMS, they all have the proper protective
gear. Do you guys have enough?
You know, we'll have enough to keep everybody safe. Everybody wants more. We could always use more, and we're fighting to get more, and they're working. There's a stockpile here in the state. There's some coming from the Fed. So, and everybody wants a piece.
You know,
and I can't say that you blame them, but we have to be prepared.
People talk about China, how they handled it and how they did a good job. And now the numbers have stabilized and it makes people feel good. One of the things I remember seeing them do is build two hospitals in 2 weeks.
Oh, yeah. They bang them out big time.
And why aren't we building buildings that the factories that could build masks,
right? Exactly. Right. Work on those things.
Oh, to
safeguard. Yeah,
right. We should be building stuff now. No,
chop.
Let's take the waiters, the waitresses, and the bartenders and put them to work building a factory, to make masks.
Exactly, or find an old factory and refurbish it.
Exactly.
Well, I got to tell you, they are looking at creative ways instead of building hospitals. There's places that are like hospitals that they're looking to tap into. And you look at like nursing schools, nursing colleges, stuff like that. And getting back to supplies, there's also some expired ones that are around and they're going to try to see what kind of condition they are and get approval to use them as well. And that's for, you know, the respirators, the breathers for the first responders. So believe me, if there's a creative way to do it, they are sniffing around everything right now.
How much trouble do you get into if you're caught having your bar open to select customers?
So it's not like the Connecticut State Police or any of the police departments around the state are going around knocking on doors and looking at windows to make sure places are empty.
Right.
They're not looking to arrest anyone for this or incarcerate anyone, but it is actually a Class D felony, 2822. Is the charge, and it's they would likely do a promise to appear, but we conferred with the chief state's attorney, Colangelo, and he agreed that it's a Class D felony.
Holy crap!
At the same time, we want it's like the snow emergencies. You know, they declare nobody can be driving on the roads. But if you go to 95 and 91 and 84, what do you see?
Yeah.
Cars up and down there.
Yeah.
Yeah,
however, I will say, I don't know how, so there's probably a fine and possibly jail time, but you're going to go through the court system, all right, if you open a bar or restaurant. Worse than that legal trouble and the expense of it will be the PR that you'll get.
Yes.
because you'll be that place.
Right.
Right.
Yep.
And God forbid someone gets it while they're, and then it's a, it's a whole, it's not worth the trouble.
No.
Right.
I would imagine if someone opened up our wherever, in whatever municipality, town, or state, the phone would ring off the hook of people saying, hey, they're open down there.
Guess what?
Not just from the competitors, but people that just want everyone to be healthy.
Yeah, right. Brian Foley.
And then we would have to investigate it.
Of course, right.
And then you'd be there.
For an hour and a half.
But Brian, with the last name Foley, I feel like if you were investigating a bar yesterday, you'd have to sample some of what they were, just
undercover,
to make sure they were serving actual beer.
Exactly.
Let me tell you, on Saturday, we went to the Irish Home. Now, the Irish Home is a club. There's also a very nice Irish bar down in the basement. And we couldn't get in.
Really?
And,
Tommy name was Foley?
Exactly. You know, and I was with this guy, Tommy Dalton, who's a retired fireman that the whole world knows.
Oh, my God.
And we couldn't get in. And we were able to get, and they had run out of corned beef sandwiches that they were selling outside. The drive-through corned beef sandwiches. So it was quite an adventure. So everybody is really taking this serious. And so we're glad to see them. You know, a lot of the population there is older, too. So everybody's taking it seriously, but it's painful.
All right. Brian Foley, Department of Emergency Services and Public Protection, assistant to the chiefy thingy, whatever.
My whole thing is. It's a long name.
Thank you, brother. Appreciate what you're doing. Let's talk to Kevin Estella, survivalist. Who's making fun of you now, Kevin?
Really? Come on.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. That last song, I don't know if I want to admit that we're on a highway to hell here, but I'll tell you, it's really not that bad as everyone's making it out to be.
Right. We're getting a little bit antsy.
A little bit.
Just based on news reports.
Right.
And then I think what happens is people project into the future.
Yeah.
Like, what if this? What if that? What if this? What if food runs out? What if the police break down? What if the...
What if an asteroid hits the whole world? We're all dead anyway, so.
Well said.
Thank you.
All right, so it's not that bad. We deep down inside know that, right? However, if things should hit the fan, right, give us a couple of items we should all have. Because I wouldn't have put toilet paper at the top of the list. I would have put food and water.
But right.
Go ahead. Give us a list.
Yeah. So, I mean, the whole idea with toilet paper, I get it. People are concerned about their comfort needs. But long before we had disposable toilet paper, people were using everything from corn cobs in the, you know, rural south to disposable rags, you know, leaves, depending on where you were.
Corn
so,
cobs.
I mean, I think that's up there, but it's not the number one priority.
Right.
Kind of tickle.
A lot of people are forgetting, like, okay, yeah, we've got toilet paper, but what happens if a lot of people are using these sanitary wipes that aren't biodegradable, right, and they clog up the water system? So how do you flush your toilet if the water gets shut off?
Gotcha.
So something that's really important is just start filling up buckets and keep them near your toilet. Fill them up with water. Or if you're taking a shower, right, plug your tub so the water's collected. That way you can still manually flush the toilet with the shower water.
Hey, this is when the S hits the fan.
Right.
We don't have to do this now, but this is down the
road.
Correct.
If things went bad.
Right.
So toilet paper wouldn't have been on your list. What would be on the top of your list? Like, you get to go in the supermarket, grab one item. What do you grab?
Well, it would have to be basic food. You know, we make this distinction and we want to get the food that is, you know, going to appeal to our emotions, right? We want to get the stuff that kind of gives us a semblance of like normalcy here, right? Instead of just buying stuff that we're going to put into our system that's actually realistic, right? You need carbohydrates, so rice or pasta. You need fat, which is oil, you know, olive oil. Protein could come from, you know, tuna fish cans. And then your amino acids are going to come from, you know, your basic beans. So we don't have to go and get the greatest food ever. We just need to get food, right? And base it off of a 2,200 calorie diet or whatever you're used to.
That works. Like beans. Like
based on the shelves in the supermarket, no one read your book.
No, the Doritos are all gone. Are Doritos good?
Yeah.
Yeah, people are selecting food that they believe is going to get them through the apocalypse, but, you know, you just got to be realistic. Canned food is going to last almost indefinitely because it's not exposed to the air, there's no moisture, no sunlight. As long as it's stored somewhere where the temperature is kind of consistent, it's free from bacteria. Canned food is really the way to go. And a lot of places,
they
canned
do
food
come
is still
with,
there.
But the canned food, it comes with an expiration date.
Right, but it's like years.
Let's just say if you have a can of food that says 2017 on it.
Sure.
Still eat it.
Absolutely.
Okay. Yep.
Over time, you might have the nutrients break down, but it's still going to be edible.
Right.
People have opened up cans of sea rations, right, from the military from decades ago, and they're still fine. You know, you're not going to get sick.
Yeah. I mean, toilet paper.
And now if you have a choice of starving to death or eating a can of food from 2017, you're going to go with the latter.
I like the can itself.
Give me the can opener.
Right.
Right.
Exactly.
Right.
Give me
so basic food would be the first thing you'd get. What's the second thing?
Definitely more water, right? And I would probably get some type of water additive, something that's going to, you know, make it a little bit more, you know, enjoyable to drink water, because people are going to, you know, in cold weather, they're not going to want to drink water. Water's going to be bland. Yeah, yeah, give me coffee. Give me some type of, you know, drink mixes. Anything that's going to make the water.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
Hot cocoa, that's fine too.
The marshmallows.
So food and water.
Yeah, the marshmallows.
By the way, AJ's the first one going to die.
Oh,
right? If there's three waves of people, AJ's among the first.
You'd be surprised. I'm like a cockroach.
All right. I just want to say, Kevin Estellazani, survivalist, we're just talking worst case scenario. This is not stuff you should be worried about.
Yeah.
I don't want to get people
it's
upset.
It's not happening. Yeah.
It's not happening.
No.
But I just, walking through the supermarket, thought, oh, this would be fun to talk to a guy who knows what to get here, because
right.
we don't know what to get.
I like
right?
tuna and beans.
All right, so basic food, water, and then what would be the next thing you'd get?
After basic food and water, I think, you know, from there, you really have to start thinking about your mindset, right? You have to start thinking about things that are going to keep your mind busy. You know, everyone's going to the supermarket getting the food and water, which is smart, but what are you going to do when the boredom sets in? So I would definitely recommend, you know, ways of entertaining yourself, you know, playing cards.
Darts.
Yeah, pretty much anything.
All right, so most people have games and activities at the house already. That's good.
Yeah.
All right. So then the next thing would be move away from the supermarket and start getting, like, what? Generator?
Fuel supplies.
What?
Well, the generator is going to definitely, you know, be a good thing to have. But even before the generator, just have some backup propane for your grill. Have some backup fuel if you have a camping stove, something that you can use to keep, you know, the water boiling. And, you know, that doesn't necessarily need to, you know, sound the alarm to the neighborhood that you have something, right? I mean, the generator, you turn it on, everyone's going to know that you have it. You turn your lights on, everyone's
going to know that you have
it. And that becomes
a problem. Right. It could be, right?
I remember during Superstorm Sandy, people were running generators, and what would happen is at night, bad people would come with like a push mower.
Uh-huh.
Put that out there running,
so
unplug
sound.
The generator, you never hear the sound go away.
That's
and they
genius.
Take the generator.
That is genius, though.
It's not genius. It's horribly bad.
It's
those
bad,
people
but I'm
are
saying.
Scum.
Right. Right. I didn't do it at all. I'm just saying.
Sure. Right.
Yeah, and here's the thing that people have to remember. In times like this, there are going to be predators. You know, something that we tend to take for granted is security.
Not times like this, like times later. Like if it got bad.
Well,
exactly. Let's relax,
right. But
everybody.
But I will say this. There are people that are price gouging, right? That person's a predator. The person that's selling normally
a
bottle of Purell that's $3 for $20, that
You're
is
right.
a predator in my eyes.
You're right.
But unfortunately, it could potentially get worse. I don't see it going that way. But we want to run those hypothetical scenarios in our head so we don't have to experience that for the first time when it's actually happening, because we've already done it, you know, and we're proactive instead of reactive.
I gotcha. So basic food, water, propane. I notice guns and ammo seem to be selling.
Yes, they do.
Yeah, guns and ammo. I mean, here's the thing. You know, I'm a hunter. I'm someone who does a lot of firearms training. It's not the time that I would recommend someone to, you know, to start searching out.
Not the time to learn.
Take it up, yeah.
Exactly. I mean, this is something you should have done long ago, right? And, you know, the last thing you want to do is have someone who is inexperienced accidentally put a round into someone, right? So, you know, but here's the thing. People are buying it because it's an amazing barter item. You know, ammunition is one of those items that that tends to fly off the shelves very quickly,
right.
You know, and whenever there's a sense of urgency.
TP for ammo. Really.
Last thing I'm going to do is hand someone with a gun bullets so they can give me food, because they might say, well, now that I have bullets, I don't have to give you the food.
Give me everything. Yeah, I'll take everything now. Yeah.
Yeah, I'll just take everything.
Or I'll trade just ammo for that toilet paper.
Right. How much stuff do you have? Like, how long can you live without the rest of the world?
Well, that's going to depend where I am, right? I mean, let's put it this way. It's not a wise idea to ever disclose to anyone, right, for operational security, what you personally have.
Right.
But I'll just say this. I'll be very comfortable. And whether I decide to stay, you know, here where I live, or if I decide to, move somewhere else, I have the means to take take food from the land. You know, one of the things that I've learned as a survival instructor is, you know, wild and edible plants, and it happens to be spring upon us, right? So a lot of these plants are going to be blooming. Right now you can find leeks, wild onions. I mean, there's all sorts of stuff that's out there as long as you have the knowledge of how to find it.
Yeah.
That works.
We got to have you back. I'm out of time, but man.
I learned a lot today.
I learned a lot.
I did.
That I'm so unprepared. Right. That AJ's first wave, I'm probably second.
I don't know. I'm like a roach.
I'm probably with AJ. I'm going down with him probably.
I'll somehow survive.
AJ's
stupidly.
Quote of the day, right. I'm like a roach. All right. Thank you for coming on, Kevin. Kevin's
pleasure.
A survivalist. And your book is 101 Skills You Need to Survive in the Woods. This is great for anyone who even just goes hiking around here.
Oh, Grandma.
It's available on Amazon. Coronavirus update. We now have 68 cases confirmed in Connecticut. And it was very scary earlier this week when 20 cases of 31 people tested in Westport, 20 cases came back positive. Westport basically became a ground zero of coronavirus cases in Connecticut.
It did, yes.
Mark Cooper, executive director of the Westport Weston Public Health Department, is on the show. Good morning.
Good morning, Chaz and everyone.
Hello.
What happened?
Well, as you say, we kind of became the focal point, but probably believe that it was introduced into Fairfield County through New York, maybe even through Rochelle there, what's going on over there. But, you know, Fairfield County has a lot of cultural and business ties to New York. And right. If you see what's going on down there, it was expected that it would be introduced in our community, and we just happen to be the lucky ones to get it first.
Right, yes. Lucky in quotes.
Exclusive, yes.
How are you guys dealing with that now?
Well, we've been running straight out. Everybody's been very busy. It's been all hands on deck, all shore leave canceled. So we're all putting in late hours, but I think we're juggling it fairly well.
All right, and then does Westport have extra protocols in place that other places don't because of the high volume of folks who tested positively?
No, we've been trying to get the same message out about, you know, what the governor and everybody's office has been talking about. We did have last Sunday, before this came to our attention, a community forum on COVID-19, which can be seen, actually, if you visit the town of Westport's library. I think the video is still out there. But we had state regional response people and our emerging management people, as well as public health people, answering questions and giving short presentations. We kind of thought we might have had a little more time between when it introduced itself, but we were kind of out in front a little bit. It came to us a little bit quicker than we thought. This is very aggressive virus in terms of its spread.
Who found out about it first before it was released to the media? I'm guessing you, the first selectman of Westport, a couple of other people, right? You test 31 people, 20 come back positive. When you get that number, do you say, can you double check that?
Well, no, we believe the results were what they were.
Oh, okay.
You know, this was no different than any other communicable disease or like a foodborne illness. We jumped into our mode, our typical response mode. We've had bigger responses. You know, 40 wasn't necessarily a really big number for an infection that's going through the community. So we jumped into what we normally do for a foodborne outbreak or an outbreak of a sexually transmitted disease, any of those things. We did not appreciate how quickly it would scale up to the numbers that are out there probably now.
What's the total number of cases in Westport?
I think our count was 20, but again,
that was 20 with that test, right?
Yeah. Correct.
Few before then, I think.
Well, there's probably cases out there that nobody
we don't know
of.
About.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
Unreported.
But again, our testing was really limited to the initial outbreak that was reported to us. It really wasn't met. Now you've got these regional drive-through test stations, which are a very good thing, which you can, that, you know, somebody earlier called in about that 211 number. That is, in fact, the way you'd want to schedule testing is go to that other previous caller you had about calling the doctor to get the referral. Then you call 211, and if you can get that referral, you can maybe even go get tested today in various sites across the state. That's good information out there.
Mark Cooper, executive director of Westport Weston Public Health Department, is on now. when you have such a high number come back positive, do you guys start doing the work backwards? Like, all right, who did you come in contact with? In other words, trying to find, see if there's a ground zero in Westport?
Correct. Again, that's contact tracing. Initially, we were thinking maybe 40 people involved, and then as time goes on, we started to hear that the numbers were much bigger in terms of potential contacts.
Have you zeroed it down to a specific place?
No, you know, we're beyond that. It's not about
just
a
seems
specific
like New York
place
right.
anymore.
Okay.
You know, it is, I think everybody should be assuming that it's broadly out in the community, and you really should start to follow those recommendations that everybody's been talking about, not only to just protect yourself, but others around you. If you don't want to get it, you should work hard not to spread it.
All right. And then any other pieces of information you want to pass on?
Well, I should take it seriously. People have been commenting, you know, it's not all that serious or whatever. For vast majority of people, as you're hearing on the news, some people have very mild to no symptoms whatsoever. The other side of that spectrum is it can have very serious consequences to people with underlying medical conditions and other things. So, you know, we don't know a lot about this virus. It's called novel because it's new. We're all learning what it's going to do to our communities as it passes through.
All right, Mark, thanks for coming on. I appreciate what you're doing there in Westport, and I also appreciate what you did in Southbury for Selectman.
Look at you.
I don't know what you're referring to. At one time, I was referred to as the public health official or the elected official that would not shake hands, and Mr. Haney actually had interviewed me about that. Trying to get out a public health message.
Who's laughing now, right?
Who's laughing now?
Aha!
Mark Cooper, Executive Director of the Westport Weston Public Health Department. Stay in touch, brother. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay.
All right. Let's go to Tony Terzi, Fox 61. Hey.
Morning, handsome.
Good morning.
Tony.
What have you been working on? I think restaurants, right?
You know, restaurants, a couple of days ago in New Haven, I went, and I'm sure you guys know Shane Carty. He's one of the owners of the Trinity Bar and Restaurant.
We were supposed to be there yesterday for happy hour.
Yep.
Yes, of course.
Disgusting what's happened to them. I mean, they were out for 17, 18 months after that fire in 2017. They opened last June. Shane literally, when we were interviewing him on Monday, literally had to stop twice during the interview. He was getting sick to his stomach thinking about laying off 26 employees. He said it's just, and he said, we don't do curbside or delivery here in our business, so we're shut down again.
Damn it.
So, you know, restaurants are getting killed. There's this pizza place in Farmington. I don't know if you guys have heard about them. Naples Pizza. Carl Kruzek, the owner. The story got out that he is delivering pizzas for free to UConn Health, you know, to the nurses and docs in Farmington there.
Wow.
Twice a day, once a week right now. And he's hoping other restaurants who can afford to do it will consider doing the same with their local hospitals. So I think that's pretty cool.
That's great.
Yeah. And yesterday I was over at Roberts Food Center in North Madison, really nice grocery store. And, you know, I talked to some people who said they typically shop at the big boxes, the Walmarts and so on. But they feel like a sense of security being closer to home. And now, even though if the prices are a little bit more expensive at the smaller markets, they just feel like they'd like to support the local business more. And I thought that was pretty neat, too.
That's what I'm doing personally. You know, I think if we all personally do something.
Yeah, it adds up.
It all adds up. And I just want to go to my local restaurants, get takeout.
Right.
Yeah.
In a time, gift cards, too. Yeah, in a time. Exactly. In a time you don't want to go to the shopping center,
right.
Why not go to the restaurant, pick up some takeout? And tip, leave some money behind for the folks that live on tips.
Of course.
That's a great idea. With regard to the grocery stores, I'm thinking, you know, the governor has said no gatherings of 50 or more. President Trump has said they
10.
Suggest no more than 10 people. But grocery stores, they're packed, even the smaller ones. And so I asked the owner, Robert Fusco of Roberts Food Center, you know, how do you handle this? He said, we make sure that all of our checkout lines are open so we can get people in and out quickly.
Oh, that's great.
Nice.
So,
And how is it affecting the folks at Fox 61? Are you guys doing things differently there?
So, yeah, you know, even the smallest things you'll notice are anchors or social distancing. They're at least 6 feet apart on the set. And some of our producers are even producing from home. Right. You know, that's been something they've been able to ramp up. And, you know, so it's we're doing the best that we can. You know, photographers and reporters ride together in cars. And obviously we're closer than 6 feet, but we all have our Clorox wipes and we have gloves if we need them and you know, masks if we need them. But so far to this point, I must say, I've been so focused on covering other people's stories that there have been a couple of times I extend my hand to shake hands and I forget.
Yep.
You know?
You find out quick and they say, no!
Yeah. So, you know, it's... But thank God, you know, the health is good. And, you know, just like your previous guest talked about, you know, if you don't want it to spread, you got to do the small things. And it's repetitive about washing your hands for 20 seconds and social distancing and not putting your hands in your face. But that's one. Those are just small ways we're going to get it to stop. You know, no community spread if we all do what we're supposed to.
There's a, you know, a number of doctors have said, act like you have it.
Yep.
Right.
Yeah.
Do all the things you would do if you have it. You wouldn't go out.
Right. Wipe things down.
Right. You wouldn't touch others. You'd
right.
Stay away from them.
Exactly.
All of that
and,
stuff.
You know, we had to pick up our boys at, they're both at college.
How
one's
old are
at
they?
Trinity College in Hartford. One's at Colby College in Maine. And
how old is the oldest?
The oldest is a sophomore. He's going to be 21
wow.
in the spring, and he was freaked out about it.
I remember
it.
When you were 21.
Yeah, yeah. Tony Terzi in the
football
Giants
in the
jersey.
Giants jersey.
Yes.
Used to do a radio shift at a competitor.
Right.
Yeah.
Yep.
So,
but the kids are freaked out, and you know that I think the best medicine, especially for our oldest, watching The Office on TV. I mean. He just loves it. And so doing things with your kids is my point that right. they enjoy that can help you to kind of step away from it for a minute if you're home together as a family.
Yeah.
Do things that you can enjoy and get a laugh over because, you know, this other stuff, there's so much uncertainty that it brings consternation, brings stress.
Yeah.
So.
And don't think too far in the future.
No.
Right?
Right.
Just stay where you're at. Look around.
You know, hope this is like other... viruses, which tend to dissipate when it gets warmer. Because
yeah.
as I understand it, these droplets don't like humidity and they get to the ground quicker when it's more humid. But again, we don't know what this novel coronavirus, this COVID-19, because nobody's ever seen it. That's
yeah.
what's freaking everybody out.
That's
even the
what's
medical
freaking
community.
Us out.
Yeah, the new kid in town.
So, all right, Tony Terzi, Fox 61. Thanks, brother. Appreciate it. Dr. Patty Ann is on. We were going to have her in studio, but, you know, we're not having anyone in the building.
No.
So what do you think about this? Let me get your take on the anxiety everyone's feeling now.
Good morning, everybody.
Hey.
It's nice to be able to call in, if nothing else, right? Well, here's what's going on. I think everybody is pretty anxious. Because it's natural for us to be anxious when it comes to the unknown. And there's so many unknowns surrounding what's going on now. But what I would like to tell people is that a little bit of anxiety is okay. But don't let the anxiety turn into fear. And there's a great acronym that FEAR stands for, false evidence. Appearing real. So people are hearing things, reading things, watching things, listening to people, acting as if this is Armageddon. Now, we are in a crisis. We are absolutely in an emergency, but this is where we need to be calm and carry on, as the expression goes. So how do you do that, right? Because if you become anxious and it goes unchecked, you become afraid. And when you become afraid, then you panic. And the panic is evidenced by all the hoarding that people are doing with the stores, right? like, if you, we don't have a shortage of things. What's happening is that people are hoarding the stuff. So it looks like we're running out of toilet paper, but that's only because people have stockpiled it, right? So
yeah, it's not it's not the virus. It's the paranoia.
Yep.
That's really getting us. Yeah.
Exactly. Exactly. So there's some real things that we can do to get control of a situation that in many ways is out of our control, right? And I also want to make this very clear to all the business leaders and all the parents out there. The people that work for you, your employees, and your children, they might not remember the specifics of what's going down today as it relates to the virus, because I guarantee you, pretty much guarantee you, before we know it, the America will have cured it. We cured polio. We found a vaccine for polio, for measles, for mumps, right? All this stuff. We defeated fascism. This will not defeat us. So what the children and what your employees will remember is how you coped or failed to cope with this situation. So remember, your children and the people that work for you are watching you. And they are watching you closely. They will look for leaders and they will look for parents to comfort them in times of uncertainty. Make no mistake about it. So let me tell you how you can calm some of your anxiety. One is limit the amount of media that you listen to, read, or watch with regards to the virus. Now, I'm not
unless it's this station,
right.
But go ahead.
Unless it's... Well, hang on. I'll get to you.
No, that's it. That's all right. Go ahead.
Yeah. I'm not suggesting to keep your head in the sand like an ostrich, right? But only listen to reliable sources, such as
we're out.
Chaz and AJ.
Yeah. Okay.
But Chaz and AJ.
Oh, wait. What's that about?
Okay.
Reliable?
Right.
Right. I got you. Okay. I'm making a little fun, right. But you're making some great points. Go ahead.
Good point.
Okay. The CDC. You do not need to listen to the 24/7 news media that has to constantly be fed. And you know what? Unfortunately, anxiety and fear sells. You guys, I've seen you guys for years. I've been involved with you guys for years. You guys do not buy into anxiety or hype. You get the facts.
I have to be honest. I did a little bit Sunday when I saw that story that Stop and Shop was going to limit its hours. I got out there because I thought, oh, they're going to probably close at some point.
Right, right.
After I did a few hours later, I felt a little silly, a lot of silly. And then I brought myself back into reality. And what I was doing was I was projecting into the future.
Yes.
Right. And I just got to be right here, right now.
Right.
And not think, well, this might happen and this might happen. And you could go through every day like that.
Yeah.
This can happen and that might happen. And why should I get my car? I might have a car. You can cripple yourself.
Exactly. I want my truck.
You know what, Chaz? Exactly. Because that's what fear does. Fear is future based. It's we're afraid of what will happen. And give yourself a break, okay? If you think that if you think you're running out of toilet paper, you do have to take some action, right? But you don't have to clear the shelves.
No.
So it's okay. We want to be prepared, okay? And I think what the experts are telling us now is that we should have 2 weeks' supply of what we need. 2 weeks, right? Not 2 months,
Fear.
Not 2 years,
right.
Not the entire basement filled with the shelter so you don't have to leave it for a decade.
Yeah.
2 weeks.
2 weeks.
Right? So it's so a little bit of action. We're not saying to be, you know, optimistically in denial, but you want to be practical about the situation.
Are you putting a list on your website? Because this is all good information you're giving out. It
you
settles
know,
me to hear what you're going through here.
Good. I haven't, but what people have been asking me to do is to do a Facebook Live thing. And
everybody does that.
Yeah,
then we got to sit through the whole thing.
Right.
I like lists.
Think out of the box.
Lists.
It's only going to be like two. You know what?
I
should get
print
something
it,
together. I might put it up on
it.
Instagram.
Do it, and then let me know immediately, and we'll post it to WPLR and 95.9 The Fox websites.
Okay, and the other thing is, you know, when life gives you lemon, you have to try to make lemonade.
I know that sounds ridiculous, but every great person in history that we remember as being some kind of a great leader of some sort has done that, right?
I love lemonade.
You get thrown something and you make something great of
it. Like sink or swim, damn it.
Yeah.
This is an opportunity. This is absolutely an opportunity. It's an opportunity for families that have been so disconnected to connect again. It's right. an opportunity for us to connect with ourselves. We are all running around like chickens without a head, right? Mm-hmm. This is a time to slow down. And remember what Mr. Rogers said. Always look for the helpers.
Are you quoting Mr. Rogers?
Yeah, because you know why?
I knew you could.
Everybody can relate to him. Anyone hears Mr. Rogers' name, and there's a calming effect.
He's a little bit of a weirdo, no?
I put on flip-flops.
What? Don't
a guy who on a children's show, the first thing he does is get undressed. I don't know. Seems weird.
Chad, when I said Mr. Rogers, wasn't there a calmness that came to you?
No.
No.
No?
No. I thought it was time to end the segment. Yep. That's what I thought.
All right. Okay, you weirdo. No, joking.
Dr. Patty Ann Tublin out of Stanford. Are you calling Jonathan Carbeauty? Because I want to talk to him.
You want to sell a house?
What's that, Andrew?
Lion 7, sir.
Thank you, brother.
Who said sir?
Hey, Jonathan, how are you?
Hey, I'm good. Good morning, guys. How are you guys doing?
Good. How has this changed what you do in real estate?
Well, I mean, we're definitely taking our precautions. We've shut down both of our offices and have our agents and admin staff working out of their houses. And we've basically been carrying around Clorox wipes and wiping everything down as we're showing houses. But I wouldn't say it's business as usual. I mean, it's definitely very busy. But, you know, we're basically taking it day by day, week by week.
Gotcha.
People who are trying to sell their houses need to sell their houses.
Right. You know, exactly.
And so this is a good time to buy.
Right.
Is it a good time to list?
Definitely very busy. I mean, we're still getting a lot of activity and the demand is high. I'll definitely argue that now is probably still a great time to list. I mean, we just put a property on the market yesterday morning and we had a full price offer by the end of the day.
I'll
tell you this. I mean, the serious buyers are definitely out right now. So, I mean, really only the serious buyers are looking.
Right. So that's good.
The tire kickers aren't.
Right. So you don't have a parade of people coming through your house.
Yeah.
You have the people who are ready to go.
Exactly.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
And, you know, it's not a bad idea to have Jonathan come by and take a look and tell you what... AJ, you should do that.
Right. When he's done laughing.
Not that you... AJ's always complaining about his house.
Yes, I am. Tell you bye.
No, it's you know, again, like I said, it's not. I wouldn't say it's business as usual because very rarely have any of us, you know, in 23 years of being in real estate, have never had a global pandemic. But, you know, as a small business owner, my heart goes out to a lot of these other small business owners, these restaurants, especially the small mom and pop restaurants that have been forced to close. So, you know, nobody understands more than I do about having employees and having this responsibility of people, you know, looking up to you and looking to you for guidance. And, you know, I've got a lot of moving parts and a lot of payroll that needs to be paid. And, you know, I've got two separate offices with heat, electricity, utilities, internet, and everything else. And on top of that, marketing budgets. And also, we have a responsibility to our clients. So we also have a lot of clients that are actually sale pending right now. And I think some of the unknowns right now are whether, you know, a lot of these town halls are closing and some of the attorneys are talking about maybe having delays on closings. And some of these people that are selling and buying, it could have a domino effect as well. So it's kind of like week by week. But as far as activity in the real estate market, I mean, we haven't really seen a slowdown.
Good.
We actually have a home in East Haven being professionally staged this morning and photography scheduled for tomorrow. And that's hitting the market Friday morning. And we fully expect that to be gone by the weekend. So,
Wow. Look at you.
Well, that key word, staging.
Right.
Right. You want to show the house the way it should be shown.
Right.
And sometimes, like, I don't have, you know, like in my game room, I don't have the best furniture.
Right.
So you have a professional come in and do that stuff. That's what Jonathan does.
Might be bulldozed.
But it's good to, it's good to celebrate local businesses. And Jonathan, we thank you for your partnership. And I'm glad you've been getting a great response from the tribe.
not a bad guy to call.
No, great guy to call.
If you're thinking about selling, yep. even if you just want to know the value.
Yeah.
Like, what do you think I can get for this?
What do you think?
What do you think? Call Jonathan. Thank you for coming on, man. I appreciate it.
Anytime, guys. Really appreciate your support.
Thank you.
Jonathan Carbeauty. Carbeauty and Company Realtors. Want to keep the money local.
Yep.
Want to take care of our local businesses.
He's a great guy.
Jonathan is that type of guy who he's going to make sure that his money stays here locally, taking care of local businesses. TV talking head and sports guy and friend of the show, Jason Page. Good morning.
Good morning.
Morning.
And his Twitter page is at the back page. All right, so let's start with Brady.
Brady.
Well, I had said when I was, I remember when I was watching him in the postseason, and even before that, I thought he was leaving New England because, frankly, they had gotten to the point where at this stage of his career, I don't think the talent was around him that could enhance his abilities to the degree that he wanted. And I also think that, you know, for the first time in his life, he had the opportunity to do something that he's never done in 20 years, and that is be a free agent, which is something so many NFL players get to experience at some point. So, Tom, and there's a little ego in this, too. Let's not fool ourselves.
He's very aware of legacy and how he's going to be remembered. And I think you want to be a Derek Jeter and, like, go in and out with the same team.
Right.
So I think that that was preference one.
I think it was, but he also wasn't going to take a deal that was substandard as far as he was concerned from the Patriots, who at the same time you have to realize are looking at a guy who's 43 years old and coming off a season where at times he looked like a 43-year-old quarterback. Yeah, he threw for 24 touchdowns. He only had 8 interceptions.
Not the best team around him.
Right.
No, and I'm the first one to tell you that, guys, but there are quarterbacks who enhance their receivers, and there are receivers who enhance their quarterbacks. And at this stage of his career, I think Tom Brady is more likely the latter than he is the former and is going to need good receivers that enhance him. Now, going down to Tampa Bay, he is certainly going to get all of that with guys like Mike Evans, who are really going to make him and enhance his game and give him some options to throw the football to. I think it's a good move for Tom Brady. Bruce Arians is a fantastic head coach. He's worked with some of the best quarterbacks in the game, including Peyton Manning. I'll be curious to see what the financials look like on it and how long the deal is for. How long are they locked into this in Tampa Bay is also an interesting question.
Right.
But they had no choice but to make this move down there. They had Jameis Winston last year. He threw for 29 touchdowns and 30 interceptions. And now, interestingly enough, he will be one of the options on the free agent market for the Patriots if they decide to go out and get a quarterback from outside the organization.
Yeah. All right. I think when we look at I agree with you on one of your two points. I don't think it's going to be about money. I think he's proved that with the Patriots. He's gone low salary so he can get a good team around him. I heard reports that it was about being part of the decision-making process. He wants to be able to be a part of plays. He wants to be a part of picking personnel. Not a final say, but part of the conversation.
Yes.
And I think you're right on the term of the deal. I don't think it's going to be a 1-year deal, right?
No, but they're talking about that. And some of the figures I've seen thrown around, and again, it's all speculation until we see the final contract, but they're talking $30 million a season for Tom Brady. $30 million for a 43-year-old quarterback.
Okay, but how many jerseys do you sell the second he signs?
Oh, yeah.
Right?
I agree.
Right.
Look,
merchandising.
Yeah.
You get instant credibility as an organization when you bring in a guy like Tom Brady. It'll be very interesting to see what the Patriots do, though. And like I said, there's a little ego in some of this. The Patriots could say all the nice things they want about Brady going out the door. He could say all the nice things he wants. There's a lot of people for years who have asked the question, who's benefited more from the Brady-Belichick relationship? Has it been Brady getting Belichick's insight and wisdom, or has it been Belichick having one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time on his roster? And guess what? We're going to get a chance to find out. That's one of the beauties of sports.
Right. Yeah. Okay. I think both of them complemented one another.
I agree.
But also, you're not mentioning Richard Kraft. It's very rare you find an owner that good.
Right.
All right.
Yep.
I can look at the Jets.
Listen, Bob Kraft
I always say Richard. Right. And I'm thinking of the guy in Newtown.
Oh, gotcha.
Robert.
Yeah. Bob.
Okay. But Bob Bob Kraft has been a very supportive owner. But he was only going to be supportive to a degree, because part of this also was the Patriots went to Tom Brady, said, here's what we're willing to pay you. And Tom Brady said, yeah, you know what? I'll go somewhere else.
Look at that. See that?
I don't think that's what it was. No. I don't think it's money.
Oh, I think money played a part in it.
At this point in his life, do you think, at the end of his career, when he's all about legacy now and rings, do you think it was about money?
Here's the thing. In his entire career, Tom Brady, despite the fact that he will arguably be the greatest quarterback of all time, has never been the highest paid quarterback in the NFL. Right. Think about that for a second.
And why do you think that is?
Ego. Oh, you're saying why hasn't he been paid the most?
Why?
Right, because for many years he was
willing to take less.
Right.
Right. Right. And now he knows he's not a stupid man. He knows at 43 he has how many years left.
Right.
He's not going to sign a deal. Like, it would tarnish his legacy if he went there for money and then didn't perform. It's about the team around him and being a part of the decision-making process.
There's no question he thinks he could still perform at an extremely high level, and that all plays a part. I just think there's a lot of moving parts to this, and it wasn't necessarily one thing. I'd agree with you on that. But now look at that division, the NFC South. You have Drew Brees, future Hall of Famer, playing in New Orleans. You have Matt Ryan, probably a future Hall of Famer statistically, playing in Atlanta with the Falcons. You have Tom Brady, surefire Hall of Famer, playing in Tampa Bay.
Right.
And the Carolina Panthers are adding Teddy Bridgewater, who played last year in New Orleans and was undefeated while Drew Brees was playing. So gear up. And even though the NFL is probably the next team sport we might see played in this country, given everything that's going on with the coronavirus, it's going to be an exciting season.
We have to go, but just give us a couple minutes or a minute on the Patriots now. What are they going to do? Is that backup guy going to be the main dude?
Jared Stidham is their backup, played his college football at Auburn, also played a little bit at Baylor. Listen, it's not beyond Bill Belichick to roll the dice and go with a rookie quarterback, but there are a lot of options out there. Cam Newton will be available via the trade. Jameis Winston will be available. Josh McCown is still out there. He was quarterbacking the Eagles late last season in the playoffs. A lot of options for Bill Belichick and the Patriots. They could also opt to look for somebody in the draft. We'll see.
What do you think they'll do?
I can't imagine them rolling the dice with Stidham yet. I don't think he's ready, even though he's 24 years old. I don't think they believe he's ready yet. I think they'd like to give him another year. I could see them bringing in a veteran of some kind to buy them a year and still be competitive in that AFC East, which is going to be wide open.
I wish I could be myself into Boston right now, because yesterday they couldn't go out to drink,
right?
And they lost Tom Brady,
right?
And when things are good in Boston, right? Every team's winning a championship.
Uh-huh.
You drive through that city and listen to sports radio, you would not know things are good. They like to bitch.
They do.
They must be going bananas
today. The Boston bitch, big time. Yep.
All right.
Absolutely, guys.
Jason, thanks for coming on. Appreciate it.
Hey, be well. Be safe. Wash your hands.
Just an open thing. Who's our vice president and market manager here.
Yes.
Good morning.
Morning.
How's business?
Not great.
Right.
But,
yeah.
You know, I mean,
it's different.
I get
it. It's a weird time.
We understand. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, we have to support our partners. You know, these stations have been in business a long time. We have hundreds and hundreds of people that we do business with, and they're trying to figure out how to adjust their messaging and what makes sense right now, and that's what we're spending our time doing.
How long have you been in radio, and how many things have you seen thrown your way, right? 9/11, Superstorm Sandy.
AJ.
2008.
Those are the big ones.
AJ.
Renewing your contract.
That's right. All of this. Yeah.
A whole bunch of stuff. Right.
This one feels more challenging than any of them, because when 9/11 happened, advertisers knew that it was going to be a journey, but there was somewhat of an end in sight, even though it was, of course, a very sad time in our country, right?
Yeah.
But I think people knew kind of what we had to do to pick up the pieces and move on. And their messaging turned to pro-America, right? Supporting our country.
Right.
And so now we're trying to coach clients through what makes sense in their advertising right now. And it's a little bit different because we're not sure when the end is. But I mean, can people really not go out to restaurants for 3 months?
Right.
It can't go on that, you know.
Exactly.
I can't see that. No. Right.
Yeah. And people need takeout.
Like exactly.
We're going to get tired real fast.
Right.
Just eating at home.
Right.
I suck when I cook.
Jennifer's
so.
A great cook, but you know.
I'm good at barbecue.
I need a variety.
I'm good at barbecue. Yeah.
And we need to support these guys big time.
Yeah, we really do. So we got to go to our local places and get our takeout. And, you know, I was just talking to Phil yesterday.
Right.
He's going to be buying a car soon.
Local places.
Like he needs to.
Right.
People
right.
need to do stuff.
Right.
Right. And so. I've talked to dealers. Obviously, it's a big piece of our business is automotive. And so we really need to be here for those guys right now. And the truth is when someone is walking in the dealership right now, they're ready to buy a car.
Oh yeah.
So
right.
they're there to super serve. And if that means they need to talk to you on the phone to conduct the sale or deliver the car to you and you never need to step foot in the dealership, these guys are ready to do that.
And Jonathan Car Beauty was on about an hour ago and he was saying the people who are out there looking for houses now, they're serious.
Yeah,
they're going to buy.
Yeah.
They're not tire kickers. You're not going to have people coming through your house who are just bored on a Sunday afternoon.
No.
They're looking to buy.
Yep.
Exactly.
What's it been like for you as a manager in a workplace? How many people do we have here?
Part-time, full-time, we have about 100 employees, and right now we're down to about 20 working in the building. Really,
like we still have 100 employees.
Sure.
They're just not coming in the building.
Yes. We have the capability to broadcast remotely at any given time. You know, that's something you always have to think about. If one of us gets it, right, we have to consider that we now need to broadcast from remote locations. But no matter what happens, these stations will be here. And we have the technology to broadcast from a lot of different remote locations.
You know, I don't want to offend television people.
Okay.
But when S hits the fan, television shows up with cameras.
Yeah.
Radio shows up with help.
Yeah. Right.
And that's what I'm so proud of.
Right.
And exactly.
People are coming out of the woodwork now. How can we help? What can we do?
Right. Why are you still here?
They'll see AJ and they'll say, why are you still here?
Exactly. But I'm used to it by now. So okay.
What's it like being a mom and a business leader at the same time in this? Now, both your boys are home from school, right?
They're home now. My biggest concern, I'm lucky I have a 17-year-old who can make sure my 12-year-old doesn't jump off the roof onto the trampoline, right?
Or is it the 12-year-old watching the 17-year-old?
I still do that.
I think my biggest concern and probably every parent's concern right now is who is going to take care of the education of our kids. You know, the schools are sending home links and all of this remote work, but I'm here. And actually, even if I was home, I don't know that I can administer that. So that's my biggest concern right now.
I remember looking at Chaz's schoolwork when he got home. I'm like, oh, let me help you with your...
I'll make you a sandwich instead and a cupcake.
Yeah, I'll make you a sandwich.
And a cupcake.
You do the work.
That pickle you like.
And then I would just look at him and say, your homework's done, right? Yep. Okay.
We're good.
I'm with you on that one.
Yeah. So that's tough. So that's what's happening now.
Yeah. People are
home
with their kids.
They're asking you, the parent, to do the schoolwork. And are they emailing you the lessons?
I think some regions are more organized than others. That's not necessarily happening where I live, but they're directing us to a main website. But a bigger issue are parents that are home with special needs kids.
Oh, yeah.
There's a whole nother thing happening there. So you're out of work. Now you're home. Now you have to educate your children and take care of them in terms of whatever special needs they have. So that is a big concern for parents right now.
This is why we need to look around, and if you're blessed and if you're not hurting right now, pass on the blessing.
Exactly.
Yeah. Ask around, talk to folks, call your family.
Yes.
And help out.
Those
and anything we could do. Like, you know who I love? Rich Jackson, Mazda Milford.
Yeah.
This
wonderful guy.
So great. Such a compelling family man. And a great business guy. And, you know, you hear his commercial every 5 minutes here. He's committed to helping local businesses.
He sure is.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's a good friend of ours.
Kristen, thank you for coming in. Thanks for keeping us on the air.
Thank you. And please, everybody go support. Today, we're going to promote a lot of businesses, but one in particular is Duchess. Every day, we're going to highlight a different restaurant. And please go support your local restaurants. This is a big part of our economy, is keeping them going.
Absolutely.
I didn't know we were going to have the president of Dutch's Restaurants, huh?
What?
This makes it even more special.
Look busy.
Gary Lavin. How are you? Is it Lavin? Lavin? Lavin.
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 Big D with cheese. Let's see. Order fries, hot dog with bacon, and a vanilla shake, please.
Hot dogs, too. Hot dogs, too.
Okay. Well, we're still open to serve you all of the above.
Good.
Thank you.
Right by.
14 locations. Where did you guys start?
The first location that opened as a Dutch's restaurant was in Fairfield at the Circle on the Post Road. And that opened in 1956, I believe.
Just drove by that like 2 days ago.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Right. And the it's been owned by the same families all that time to this day.
Wow.
Nice.
All 14 locations in Connecticut?
Right. Yeah, we go from Wallingford all the way down to Darien.
Nice. Oh, man. I can taste a Big D with cheese now. I think I'm going to take Jennifer out to Dutch's today.
Look at that. Nice.
Yeah, we're going to celebrate
you
guys.
You have a lot of options. You can order for delivery through Uber Eats, and they've been very generous in waiving the delivery fee for local restaurants to our customers. And another thing they did for us was they have a pickup option where you can order on the Uber Eats app and come to the restaurant and pick it up. And normally there would be a fee to us for that, but they've waived that. You can also call us and place an order, or you can go through the drive-thru. You can order online on our website, which is godutchess.com. No T in Dutchess. Some people put a T in.
Right.
We also have DoorDash, so you have a lot of options. And at the moment, we're still open for our regular business hours. Obviously we're assessing things day to day like everyone else. But at the moment you can order at 6 a.m. up until 11. Most locations are open till 11.
What's the range of delivery? Like if you have a place in Derby,
right,
how far will you go out?
Well, that's determined by the Uber Eats and DoorDash matrix that they use. But, we have pretty good coverage. We have two locations in Fairfield. We have Ansonia, Shelton, Orange, Milford, Monroe. For Fairfield County anyway, we have pretty good coverage. I don't think there are too many dead spots in Fairfield County where you couldn't get a delivery.
Right. Oh, man, that's awesome. Well, I'll be at your Ansonia location today.
So hungry right now.
And the drivers, I think, are a little less busy driving people around these days. So
right.
The delivery service is a little quicker, I would say, than the normal.
Oh, that's fantastic.
See?
All right. We are linked up at WPLR.com to Dutch's.com. And it's GoDutch's.com, DutchessRestaurants.com.
Right.
Right.
Gary, thanks for coming on. We really appreciate it.
My pleasure.
More importantly, thank you for that Big D with cheese.
Yeah, really. Thank you very much.
I love that thing.
We have a lot more.
Oh, that thing is like my best friend.
Whenever you have the craving, we have them.